key racing information, always on Sky Sports Radio.
Well, our first guest this morning on Racing HQ is out at the Sydney airport, about to leave for Japan. It's none other than Hugh Bowman. Morning to you, Hugh.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Looking forward to this challenge, I reckon.
Yeah, certainly am. It's something that's always been, I wouldn't say always, but as I've had more international experience, Japan's been a place that I hope one day to go to. There was an option to go earlier in the year, or an opportunity, I should say, but just didn't really fit for Christine and I, having Paige coming along. But with her, he's safe and well now, and Bambi will be her. Bambi will be her second Christmas, so I'm going to miss that. But I'm sure that she'll have a good understanding of what's going to happen next year. So I thought this year might be a good opportunity to do it.
Have you ever ridden there, Hugh, or is this in fact the first time?
First time. I've never been to Japan.
Yeah.
So covering new ground. But the racing there is obviously very good. The horses, wherever you see them around the world, they compete at the highest level and do it well. So no, I've got a great deal of respect for their industry, and really looking forward to learning more about it.
Their horses, when you watch them, whether you see them every Sunday or, you know, when they come to the Melbourne Spring or the Sydney Autumn, obviously, like they've done, they're so fit and competitive whatever they go into. It seems to be a different sort of style of racing there when you watch the local stuff, that the pace is always on.
Yeah, there's plenty of pressure on, you know, and a lot of their races are over distances, which I'm looking forward to riding in, you know, a lot of distance races. But it's hard to get a guide, really, when you're watching them against themselves. Like, obviously, they're going fast, but it's hard to get a guide of the, you know, class of the horse until you see them race on the international stage. And as you just said, whenever they travel, they don't travel to make up numbers. They travel to win, and inevitably they do. And if they don't, there's a good reason why. So, look, like I said, they do something right, and I'm looking forward to learning as much as I can.
Hugh, in going there, Nash has been there in the past, and we know Tommy Berry's there at the moment. Are you linking with an owner, or how does it play out for you for the 6 weeks roughly you'll be there?
I'm linking with a trainer, Mr. Ikey. He's actually, how it came about for me is Zach Purton's obviously got a connection there, and that obviously he was unable to commit to it at this time of year because of Hong Kong.
Yep.
He's contracted there, and they wanted a top Australian jockey instead of him, and Zach was kind enough to recommend myself, as he did earlier in the year when I couldn't go. But so I'll be riding for the trainer that he rode for, and I'll be based at Rito Training Centre, which is, I'm not exactly sure of the logistics at this stage, but it's west of Tokyo, and
yep.
I won't be in the same area as Tommy Berry, who's over there now, and we saw him ride a couple of winners on the weekend, so good to see him on the board. But I won't be in the same area as him, but I understand I will be sort of riding against him on the weekends.
Okay, yeah, well, that'll be interesting to see you both there. And I guess it's a whole new ball game. We learnt that they, you know, the lockdown over the weekend, that phones are off and all that sort of caper. It's something different to what I guess you're used to here.
Yeah, but look, I was aware of that. You know, any jockey that goes there knows that's a protocol. And,
yep.
That's why the family won't be coming with me, because, you know, not that I've been there before, but just going off from advice from other people that have been there, you know, it's not really adhesive to family life, because you're spending, you know, two or three days a week locked up anyway. And
yeah.
The English is English speaking languages, few and far between, so I'll have an interpreter over there who will help me. But like I said, this will be a big learning curve for me, and you know, I've found with my previous international experiences, I've come back not only sort of a more mature jockey, but you know, a more polished person. And you know, I think this trip could magnify that because of the language barrier.
Yep.
And, you know, but like I said, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great experience, and you know, I'm hoping that I have the success that I've had with previous trips.
Just finally, mate, I know you're in Japan, and you're going probably like a few of the Australian jockeys to the Hong Kong International meeting, and then, basically, we're not going to see you in Sydney until very much the new year.
No, I won't be back here until the middle of January.
Yep.
So, I plan to go to Ireland and have about 10 days with Christine's family as soon as I'm finished in Japan. And so that'll rule me out of the Magic Millions, which I'm disappointed about, because it really is a headline carnival.
Yep.
And, you know, opportunities are always very good for me. But, look, it's a case of I can't do everything. And, you know, it's important to me to spend some time with my family as well. And having not seen them for, you know, the guts of 2 months, you know, I had to forego something. So the Magic Millions being on the 10th of January, it's just going to make it too tight. So I'll go to Ireland when I'm finished in Japan, have 10 days to 2 weeks there, and I'll be back ready to fire in the middle of January.
Well, you had a terrific spring. Winx, obviously, the star of the ship, mate. We wish you the best in Japan for the next 5 or 6 weeks there in Hong Kong. We will be following your results along with Tommy while you're both there, mate. Enjoy it.
No, thanks, Andrew. Appreciate your support and everyone listening.
Hugh Bowman joining us out there at Mascot on the way to Japan. We wish him and continued good fortune for Tommy Berry while they ride in Japan. Now, just before we go and talk about Red Cadeau and Perth Summer Carnival, I just want to try and play a little sneaky. Now, it's a special birthday for someone. Let's try and get him online.
Hello?
Well, it's a big happy birthday to Darren Biebman. Darren, it's Andrew Bensley. We're live on Sky Sports Radio. Happy 50th, mate.
Oh, mate, I felt like 50 getting out of bed this morning too.
I reckon they would have given you plenty of track work, wouldn't they?
A little bit.
You've tried to sort of keep it quiet, haven't you?
You know, me, Ben's always try and fly under the radar.
You do, but you can't, because you're now on Sky Sports Radio and you're celebrating. Celebrating your 50th birthday. You can thank the crew at Godolphin for me bringing you this morning.
Yeah, well, mate, it came up no caller ID. I thought, who's this pest?
Well, you're right. I am a pest. Hey, mate, how are you going to spend your 50th? You started in a normal way with track work. What about the rest of the day?
Well, I'm here at the stables and just doing a bit of work here, and I'm staying very clear of the pool, so I might end up in the pool. I don't know what they got planned.
Hopefully something like a big creamy cake or something, Darren, you can afford to eat these days.
Yeah. Well, looks like we've already had a few of them.
Yes.
No, it's going to just be a quiet day, normal day. Another day in paradise, mate.
Yeah. Well, mate, I didn't want it to let it go past. Happy 50th from everyone that's listening in racing, and I hope it's a special day in some way, mate, that the family look after you.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
Darren Biebman joining us there. Great to be a part of his 50th in a small way. We just thought we'd get him on there because the boys at Godolphin, they didn't miss him and they didn't want me to miss him. So happy birthday, Darren. Let's go to Perth now. The Summer Carnival's on this Saturday with the Winterbottom and the Railway, and Adam Durant's got a key chance. Morning to you, Adam.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you, mate. Considering the three-hour time difference, how's Real Love going into the Railway?
Yeah, we've had no setbacks so far with her. She's come through really well, and was always a plan, sort of the 3 weeks between runs from her first up assignment, which I thought she went excellent. She's had plenty of improvement left in her, and last preparation she did the same thing, and the second up she won really impressively over a mile. So we've followed the same recipe, and hopefully we get the same result.
I noted that looking at it on Sunday when I initially made contact with you about how she was going, and last preparation, you know, it just worked perfectly with her.
Yeah, well, that that was always my my hope, and I sort of spoke to Bob, you know, early in the prep, and I said that was my preference where I wanted to go, and obviously Bob's got quite a few going around at the moment, so he needed to split them up. So it's probably not ideal for everyone to do that with their horses, but for me, I'm more than happy to sort of give them that sort of time between runs with our sort of training methods and things like that can cope with that really well, and I think especially after a first up run, it's always nice to get a good good little reprieve in between their first up run to their second up run. And obviously with her having, you know, really good staying capacity as she gets, you know, further into her preparation, it's just nice to have a little bit of freshness, a bit of sprint still in her legs. So her work's been winning work, and she hasn't done a final workout. She's going to work this morning in about an hour, but all so far is exactly where you'd want to be leading up to a race like that.
Just for our listeners' sake, Adam, you've got your own property there. You mentioned you're going to gallop in an hour. It's only 25 past six in the morning there, so it won't be late, but you're able to do that with your horses?
Yeah, we've got our own property, and we've got a 2,000 metre straight gallop track, and it's a good little training tool to have. You sort of out of the hustle and bustle of the sort of, you know, the metropolitan tracks, but all the, you know, the gossip and the crap that goes on in racing. So it keeps my head in a bit better headspace, and I really enjoy the training out here. It's very rural, and it's nice. I'm lucky to have it.
Mate, obviously she's the best hope for you, but you've also got Special Delivery and Tower of Lonro. What's your feeling on those two in the railway?
Yeah, well, Tower of Lonro, again, I've tried to map out as well as I could to his best sort of best way of racing, and he's actually unbeaten third up, which he will be on Saturday. Over the mile, he's sort of had six starts, four wins, and two placings. And if you look at his run on Saturday, he was very unlucky. He probably the leader got away with the birthday in front and just crawled them, and nothing tackled it, and it sprinted very hard and sort of got that bake on him. But he hit the line very strong and finished third. And you know, he drops from 59 down to 53. I certainly wouldn't be discounting his claims. He's just continued to improve as he's got older, this horse. And he was quite unlucky in his two runs prior to this preparation. Before he went out over a mile and over 2,000 metres, he should have won. He come from a mile back, and before that, he carried 62 and won a race over a staying journey. So this horse is more than capable on his day, and I think he's in the best nick he's been in. And as I say, we've timed his run to perfection.
What about the other one, Special Delivery?
The other horse is a really good chance, I feel. He's only just coming out of normal stakes grade. But the thing with him, he's one of those horses that only does what he has to. In running, he'll sort of get back in the field and he'll make up six lengths in about two steps to join him on straightening. And he's a fox. He's a typical Testarossa that doesn't really give you what he's got. And if you watch his replays, he's got a really good turn of foot. He should have won his last four. He should have won all five starts for me. He's won four out of five since I've taken over with him. And he's a lovely type, and as I say, he's one of those sort of little bit of a wolf in sheep's clothing. So it wouldn't surprise me if he had something to chase and a good strong tempo that the railway will be, if he's the type of horse that does progress. So I think I've got three really solid claims.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they all have their own realistic chance. Real Love, Tower of Lonro, and Special Delivery. We wish you the best with those, Adam. I'm going to ask one final one. I'm a bit nervous asking because of what unfolded last week with Kiora Kutu, who we saw run in the Victoria Derby. Is the horse okay?
Yeah, well, he's home now. He's back in the yards at home, but he's probably got a foot-long scar down his knee, which has got stitches in it from halfway down his cannon bone up above his knee. It's more superficial, but it did open up quite a bit when he first injured it. And it's going to be probably 2 weeks sort of rehab, getting that right and the stitches out, so that we can sort of then start preparing him for the WA Derby. But he was certainly in no condition to do any vet checks for Hong Kong. And look, they were still very keen to keep him in Melbourne and do the vet checks in a couple of weeks. But the problem that arises for me is then if everything goes pear-shaped, well, I've got a horse sitting in Melbourne that I then can't get ready for the WA Derby, and I lose, you know, lose two things with him. So we decided to bring him home. And look, the Hong Kong Derby's for 4-year-olds, so there's plenty of time yet for them to put their hand in their pocket if they want him still, if he can come out and be competitive in the WA Derby. So we'll see what happens.
Good luck to you, mate. Hope they all run well. We've only spoken about the one race. You've got plenty of other runners. I hope it's a grand super Saturday for you, mate.
Pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks, Adam. Adam Durant joining us there. Three live chances in the railway. Robin Trevor-Jones from the Ed Dunlop Stable, a regular here on Sky Sports Radio, but this is the last time while he's been in Melbourne for the spring. He's off today. Morning to you, Robin.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. We had a call yesterday on one of our Monday shows, Punters Postmortem, Robin, inquiring about Red Cadeau. How's he going?
We're just with him right at this minute, to be honest, and he seems good. He's in his box at the veterinary hospital here, and everything seems good. Thank you very much.
That's good. You've been absolutely blown away, I know, by how many people have been inquiring, from young school kids to veterans. You know, they've all wanted to know.
Look, it's fantastic. We've had the Premier of Victoria come to see him. As I say, the wall next to his box is just covered in cards and letters wishing him well. It makes us feel a bit better now, having to leave him here with so many people here in Australia that want to see him and are sending so much love to him.
Mate, this is I don't want to get you teary, but this is probably a fairly emotional period that you're standing with him right now.
Well, look, we're going to be Mr. Arcula, the owner, who's been fantastic all the way through Red Cadeau's career, has already told us. He said Steve and myself to come over in about 6 months' time, when he's going to be released into his paddocks. So he's going to send us over here, so we'll be seeing him in about 6 months.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that'll be good. Maybe links him with something in Sydney in the autumn, Robin.
I don't know if I'm bringing another horse.
We'll wait and see. Now, well, thankfully, from the Melbourne Cup day to now, he's made really good progression, and that's fantastic. And you're off to Japan?
We go to Japan, mate. We fly at about 5:30 this evening. We'll be in Japan tomorrow morning.
Okay, trip to Paris. Tommy's there, and he started with a bit of a bang, so that's real good positive stuff too.
Yeah, he's ridden two winners already, hasn't he? Which is always difficult over there, so he's doing well. Riding with a bit of a confidence, I hope. Japan Cup's always tough. There's no getting around that. It'll be a good race. So we're there, we're fit. He worked yesterday, he worked very well. We're looking forward to it.
So he leaves a happy horse.
Yep, he is. You know, he worked good yesterday. Everything's the right signs. He's showing the right signs that he's come after the Melbourne Cup well, and he's ready to go again.
I reckon you must be. Are you the last horse to leave Werribee?
I think there are a few. We're the last ones in Vintage Crop.
Yeah.
I think there might be a couple down at the other the other quarantine centre. Galo Chop, who goes to Hong Kong, is definitely there.
Yeah.
And there were two German horses. Now, whether they're going to Australian trainers now, I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay, we'll wait and see. Hey, mate, thanks for all your time. We all held our breath, obviously, with what unfolded Melbourne Cup Day, but I think the love from Australia helped this horse, and the attention that he's got at the Werribee Vet Hospital. Mate, we look forward to seeing you when you come back to unleash him at Living Legends on the outskirts of Melbourne.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Good on you, Robin. Robin Trevor-Jones there. Good on you, mate. Let's go to New Zealand. Andrew Seabrook is joining us from New Zealand Bloodstock. Morning to you, Andrew.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you, and you've got a busy period. I got a text from Michael Friedman this morning at about quarter to six Sydney time, and I thought, what in the hell's he doing up at quarter to three Singapore time? But then I realised he's in New Zealand.
He is, and actually just talking to Michael, he's been a great supporter of ours over the last 4 or 5 years at the sale, and he's here along with a lot of other international buyers, Andrew.
Yeah, this is the Ready to Run sale, which is on tomorrow and Thursday.
Correct, yeah, got about 400 horses going through, and a lot of Australians here. It's still our biggest market, of course, Australia. They actually, you know, over the years, it's been more of an Asian sale, but Australia now spend more than Hong Kong and Singapore combined, and a lot of them here buying the staying horses, and, you know, having the success that the sale has had recently, it's no surprise.
Tell us what's happened with these horses, the ready-to-run sale, so people have been able to watch them and videos, obviously?
Correct. They breezed up about 3 weeks ago at Tirapa on a good track, and you know, nearly 400 horses breezed up, and that went on. Those breeze ups went online and sent DVDs around the world. So they've done all their homework. A lot of the horses would have been seen as yearlings, of course, and so they've done their homework, and the sale starts tomorrow. So, you know, there's some great horses come out of the sale, Andrew, so we're hoping for a good one.
What are you, what's the feeling? The ready-to-runs were a bit nervous early. People didn't know to anticipate what would come out of ready-to-run sales, but they've grown, and particularly your one.
It really has. It just works here, Andrew. I mean, over the last 3 years, there's something like 14 Group 1 winners have come out of the sales here. It's become a real viable alternative to selling yearlings. And a lot of horses here are now, when they're born, the vendors are saying, the breeders are saying, well, that's going to go to the ready-to-run sale. And you know, we've had the likes of Turn Me Loose and Mongolian Khan flying the flag for our sale over the last sort of month or so. Just really helped. It's, you know, it's turned into a really genuine sale. In years gone by, of course, it was sort of an afterthought, but not now. It's a proper sale.
Okay. Now, people back here in Australia, they'll be able to watch it online?
Absolutely, online on nzb.co.nz, and starts at 10 o'clock Australian time tomorrow.
Okay, so 10 a.m. and then it continues on Thursday. Andrew, thanks for your time. Good luck.
Good on you, Andrew. Thanks very much.
Good on you. Andrew Seabrook there from New Zealand Bloodstock. Just a couple of, not Japan, but Hong Kong snippets. Turn Me Loose, definitely not going to Hong Kong. The horse will be back in the paddock by the end of the week and then aim up towards the Sydney Autumn. Criterion will gallop at Moonee Valley on Saturday. They'll make a decision when the horse gallops, whether he goes to Hong Kong to run in the Hong Kong Cup. If he does, Craig Williams is definitely booked, but we'll wait for that gallop on Saturday. And my suggestion with Rising Romance going to the Spelling Paddock, that confirmed by David Hayes, that Lucia Valentina will get an invite to run in the Hong Kong Cup, and wouldn't that be a great opportunity for Chris Lees? 25-10 on your racing leader.